values, and principles. That's our game. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Israel is intensifying its assault on the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military says airstrikes have hit more than 300 targets in the last 24 hours. Hamas militants continue to fire rockets into Israel. Today, four of those rockets were aimed at Jerusalem, setting off air raid sirens across the city.
Yes, missiles and rockets now hitting Jerusalem. So happy that Fox News military analyst Ralph Peters, author of several best-selling books, fiction and nonfiction alike, including the great Civil War novel Hell or Richmond, is able to join us for a few moments this morning. Good morning, Ralph Peters. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm always good when I'm talking to you and all the great folks out in the Seattle area, to which my sister has just moved.
And, oh, wonderful.
The whole family's just drawn there. I guess I'm going to wind up there at some point.
Yes, that's the idea. Great. Yeah. We'd be happy to host her. Give her my phone number, and I'd be happy to show her around. It's terrific. Where did she move? What area of Seattle?
Well, you know, I'm not familiar with all the Seattle neighborhoods, and she just moved out, so she's in temporary lodging.
Okay.
But she's moved out there to be to head up a very, very fine charity, and she's a chronic person who's chronically trying to improve our society and our country.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, Ralph. And yes, you would be welcome to follow suit if you wanted to. I've got to ask you straight up. Rockets now hitting Jerusalem, as far as I know, for the first time, if they were fired from Gaza. The Middle East about to explode?
Well, the Middle East has already exploded. I mean, there's wildfires raging across it, multi-sided civil wars, in addition to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Ralph? Oh, did we lose our connection? We lost you for a few seconds.
Yeah, what has absolutely horrified me is that our government, the Obama administration, is clearly siding with the Palestinians on this. Look, if Hamas and the other Palestinian terrorists want Israeli airstrikes on Gaza to stop, it's easy. Stop shooting missiles blindly into Israeli cities and population centers. I mean, there's so many differences, key differences, that go ignored by the Obama administration. First of all, Hamas is firing rockets blindly at civilian areas to kill civilians, terror weapons. Israel's response is very carefully targeted. The Israelis even phone people and say, your house is going to get hit. You've got 5 minutes warning. Get out of there. They go to incredible lengths to spare civilian lives. And, you know, by doing that, it means they miss a lot of terrorist targets because the terrorists run away, too. And the Palestinian response is to use women and children as human shields. They want civilian casualties so they can hold them up and say, look at these bad Israelis. John, the bottom line is very simple. Israel wants to live in peace with its neighbors. Its neighbors want to destroy Israel and exterminate Jews. Now, what is hard to understand about that?
And thank you for making that distinction, that it's not just a territorial dispute. There is a venomous anti-Jewish angle to all this. The kids are brought up to look down and to hate Jewish people.
Yeah, I mean, being for our academics in North America, for the global left, the new socially acceptable form of anti-Semitism is to be anti-Israel. And so people say, oh, well, we're not really anti-Semitic. We're just anti-Zionism. We're anti-Israel. Hey, my God, here's a people that went through the Holocaust. A handful of refugees build a high-tech rule-of-law democracy, an outpost of civilization in the swamp of barbarism that is the Middle East. And our academics, it's astonishing. They are siding with people, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorists, who would never let them practice academic freedom, who in many cases would slit their throats. I mean, it's so hard for me to understand. And let me make it clear to your listeners, I am not Jewish. If I were, I would be proud of it. But I'm one of those Episcopal aliens, you know, you hear about. I'm a Christian. But when I, in elementary fairness, when I look at the Israel story, when I look at, you know, almost 400 million Arabs and about 5 to 6 million Jews, come on, guys. Let's be fair. I mean, I heard
Ralph Zelensky
this morning complaining on MSNBC that the Israelis are somehow unfair. My God, they're trying to survive.
Well, you see, this is why I don't think that the West Bank territorial dispute is going to be the end of it at all, because you just put your finger on it. You've got 6 million Jews in a nation of 7.5 million, surrounded by 21, 22 Arab countries containing over 400 million Arabs. And what? If they give several square miles of land, that's all of a sudden going to make all the tension melt and go away?
Yeah, and it's disingenuous.
What a pipe dream.
People say it's about territory. Well, if you just went back to the 1967 borders, if Israel went back to the 1967 borders, which is impossible at this point, then their terrorist enemies would want to go back to the pre-1948, to the 1947 borders, when it's just a necklace of kibbutzes and urban settlements. And if we went back to that, they'd just want to exterminate everybody. I mean, they want Israel gone for a variety of reasons, too complex, really, to discuss in the show. There are many layered reasons, and our academics, with their pathetic, pathetic hatred of the Jewish people, it's just stunning. I mean, our campuses sound like Germany in 1933. It's just stunning to me. Again, Israel, the only country in the Middle East where women have a fair chance, are equal under the rule of law. The only country where the president is subject to the law. One, you know, was just convicted in a court of law. The only country that has a rule of law, that has freedom, that stands up for elementary human rights, that does its best. And we attack Israel? I mean, you just saw the double standard in the global media, where when three Israeli teenagers, one a dual American citizen, were kidnapped and murdered, it was a news story, but a small one. One Palestinian teenager is kidnapped and murdered, and it's a huge front page above the fold. Now, I do not condone the murder of any innocent civilian, Israeli or Palestinian. Obviously not. But the double standard to which the Israelis are held, where it's really, John, it's really racist on the part of the American left.
Well, here's
the American left is really saying is Arabs can't measure up. We can't really hold them to civilized standards, but we can hold the Israelis to high standards.
And I wonder if there isn't some self-hatred going on here. Let me check the New York Times here for a moment. They wrote in their editorial that after the Palestinian teenager was killed, that for several days, Benjamin Netanyahu said and did nothing. That's completely untrue. He reacted the day it happened, he reacted.
He reacted, he deplored it, and Israel, you know, they tracked down the murderers of that Palestinian teen, and they arrested them. Meanwhile, Hamas was celebrating and hiding the murderers of those three Israeli teens. I mean, at what point do our academics, supposedly the smartest people in our country, educating young Americans, at what point do they face facts? And get beyond the theories of underdevelopment stuff. Look at the facts on the ground. Israel tries to protect civilians. Hamas celebrates the murder of civilians.
By the way, Ralph, we only have about a minute, and I got to ask you about another news story here. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has thrown out our CIA station chief in Berlin. That's the top American spy in the country.
Yeah, and that was done to please the German press, which is very left wing, and it's a political gesture. But here's the bottom line: of course, we spy on Germany. We'd be derelict in our duty if we didn't. The previous chancellor of Germany, Gerhard Schröder, was a close pal of Putin. Apparently, passed on our secrets to the Russians. And oh, by the way, as soon as he left the chancellorship, Schröder went to work for Russian oil and gas industry at a huge salary and a do-nothing job. So throughout the German government, there are leftists from the SPD and the Greens who really have this Oedipal hatred of America. I mean, their position is that, well, after World War II, the Americans treated us decently. They helped us rebuild. They protected us. They reunified our country. And so they're evil imperialists. And it's stunning. But they romanticize Russia and romanticize Vladimir Putin. And to protect NATO and our own security, of course we monitor the Germans. We'd be nuts not to.
All right, Ralph Peters, always great hearing from you. Thanks again for taking a few minutes to talk to us here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. And again, check out Ralph's great Civil War novel, Hell or Richmond. Thanks again for being on the program, Ralph.
Hey, love the show. Thank you, John.
Have a great weekend.
Lars Larson tackles the big stuff today at 6 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. What's it like in Jerusalem right now? Well, why don't we talk to someone who is there? Judy Balint, former Seattle resident, joins us here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now a journalist in Jerusalem. Judy, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for joining us again. What is happening in Jerusalem today?
Well, when I left you 2 days ago, I remember saying, I think, that, I'm sitting here in Jerusalem out of range.
Right.
Little did we realize we are, in fact, in range. And despite the fact that Jerusalem is supposedly holy to our Islamic brethren, they decided to fire some missiles on us, actually on two occasions over the past couple of days. Yesterday we had four M75s, which are homegrown missiles from Hamas that were intercepted but did fall in the Jerusalem area. So that's what's happening here.
Now tell me what that means. Tell me what that means. How explosive are these missiles?
Oh, they're very explosive.
How powerful?
Again, I'm not a missile expert. I can just tell you that from the point of view of a citizen, of course, what happens is the siren goes off. And when the siren goes off, you have a minute and a half, 90 seconds, to get into – that's Jerusalem, because we're slightly further. If you're living in the south of Israel, closer to Gaza, you have 15 seconds in order to get to your protected space. So we have a minute and a half. So you get to your protected space, which in my case, I'm living in an apartment building which is older and does not have a protected room that most newer apartments do have. And that means I go to stand in the stairwell one floor down, because that is considered the safest place in a building in order to be protected from any kind of direct hits or from flying shrapnel or from windows, etc. So that's what happened in Jerusalem. Now, what's incredible in all this going on over the last 4 or 5 days is actually there have been no fatalities at all here in Israel. And that is it's a very difficult thing to deal with and a very difficult thing to understand, because what that leads to, I think, is the headlines that we see all over the world, which say, Israel is perpetrating attacks on people in Gaza, number of people in Gaza have been killed, which is perfectly true, and nobody has been killed and very, very few injured here in Israel. And that is purely because we have a system in place here in Israel, a highly developed system where the citizenry knows exactly what to do in these situations and has protected spaces. Now, you would think in Gaza, where they've been building tunnels, you know, left, right, and center for their arms and for terrorists to come and go, that if they really cared about their people, they would have built protective tunnels and protective spaces, just like we have in Israel. But unfortunately, that is not the case. Unfortunately for the poor people of Gaza who are suffering because they're being used as human shields. And that kind of gets to the core of what's happening here. And we discussed this earlier, I think, in our previous conversation, but why is Hamas doing this? They clearly aren't winning much of anything. All that they've proven so far is that their missiles that they have now do have a longer range and various...
Wait, I've never heard of Hamas from Gaza, south west of Israel. I've never heard of Hamas being able to hit Tel Aviv or Jerusalem with missiles fired from Gaza. This is new, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. So
it is new, but it was predicted about 2 years ago.
Okay, you've got a program called Iron Dome that basically operates the way our Star Wars SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative System, was designed to work, which is to knock down incoming bombs and incoming missiles.
Exactly.
Was Iron Dome deployed?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you had it not been deployed. And it actually, more than half the population of Israel today is under threat. So now that we have a population of about 8 million. So for about 4 million people, including Arabs, I should mention. Mm-hmm. And by the way, them is about a third of the population is Arab, right? So they were shooting rockets and missiles at known areas where a third of the population is Arab. But you can equate that to the United States. Imagine if half of the United States were under missile threat. I can only imagine what the American government would be doing in retaliation.
How many miles from Gaza? Here. How many miles from Gaza to Jerusalem?
Jerusalem is about 50 miles. It takes about an hour and a half to drive down there by car. So it is not very far. We're a very, very small country. The whole of Israel fits into Lake Michigan, okay, just for comparison. But Iron Dome, I have to say, has had a phenomenal effect, both psychologically, of course, in a very real sense. It has defended the people of Israel from missile attacks. And that is why, thank God, we have been able to keep our way of life, day-to-day life, going.
Okay, now,
which, of course,
here,
has economic implications also.
Here is what Israel has been doing.
If you came here, you wouldn't know anything's going on at the moment here in Jerusalem. It's very quiet. Everybody's going about their business. A few cultural events that were going to be out in the open were canceled, but that's it. Everything else is going on as planned because we have this defensive system. The siren will go off. If the siren goes off while I'm talking to you, I'm just going to go move into my stairwell. Okay, and the Iron Dome will knock down those missiles, and we have to wait for 10 minutes in that protected space, and then we go about our business. And in Tel Aviv, too, today, my son was in Tel Aviv, and the siren went off, and when they came out of the protected space, in the middle of the street in Tel Aviv, there was shrapnel damage on the cars.
When I was in Jerusalem in 2012, one of the things I noted is not only was Jerusalem safe, but it was at ease. There was no tension in the air. People were laid back and friendly, and it seemingly unguarded. Now, there were lots of people, lots of military presence there, but people were laughing and the outdoor markets, and everybody, seemed to be just at ease. Is that the case now?
There is a tense feeling. Look, anytime you have 2 days in a row or with a day apart, the sirens going off and missiles directed at your city, at your population, and you're standing in your protected space, of course people are tense. But, as I said, 10 minutes later, everybody's out in the street. I was in the market this morning where I think I took you, or you were there in Machane Yehuda in the Shuk. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Friday morning is the Erev Sabbath, the Sabbath Eve preparations, and many, many people go out to shop. There were way more people there than usual, actually.
Okay, I'm talking,
because,
again, by the way,
we're protected.
I'm talking, by the way, to former Seattle resident Judy Balint, now a journalist in Jerusalem. By the way, Judy, the Israeli government has been hitting back at Hamas in about the most polite way possible. They are literally telephoning the occupants, the residents of buildings that they're about to bomb, telling them, leave, we're about to bomb.
And the families who are living there,
they should not be, exactly.
And there's a lot of psychological things going on.
So
now that is not psychological warfare. That is a warning to the innocent citizens of Gaza to remove themselves if they can. In some cases, we know, unfortunately, they were prevented from doing so by Hamas operatives in those buildings, and they were used as human shields. But Israel's goal is not to eliminate the people of Gaza or not to wipe out Gaza. The goal of Israel's military offensive at this point is very, very clear. It's to absolutely wipe out the terrorist threat and to allow people in Israel to live their lives in peace and quiet and not to live under the threat of terrorism. And again, we discussed this also last time, but I think it's very important, the notion of what is going on in inside the internal politics of Hamas vis-a-vis Egypt, vis-a-vis the rest of the Arab world, that has a lot to do with what's motivating them here in terms of indiscriminately firing rockets at Israeli population centers. That is in order to assert themselves because they haven't been very successful in the last few months in gaining support and in showing their people that they are actually worth much of anything. And they've also lost Iranian support. Egypt is down on them. Hamas is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Egypt is not too...
No, because the Muslim Brotherhood was overthrown by the military in Egypt, and the Egyptian government under General al-Sisi has a very different view of Hamas than the Muslim Brotherhood.
Exactly.
All right, well, listen...
Exactly, and that's...
I hope that they're able to dismantle the war-making structure of Hamas. They're doing it almost surgically, and I wonder if you can do it effectively in such a technical, precise way, Judy.
Well, our ground forces at present are massed on the border, and about half an hour ago, the chief of staff announced publicly that he was waiting for a decision, a political decision, which would decide whether, in fact, that ground force campaign would go ahead. And he said within the next 48 hours, that would be decided. So if they see that, in fact, that is necessary, and in order to rout out the terrorists who, unfortunately, are underground, and without a ground operation, it will be very hard to get those Hamas people above ground. So we're waiting to see what's going to be with that. But also, our prime minister, the Israeli prime minister, told Gaza citizens on the border to evacuate. Okay, they were told today, you know, there might be a ground campaign. You better get out of there. Hint, hint. In other words, we have prepared the people to allow them to actually get out of there and for Israel to go deal with the terrorists that are ensconced in that area.
All right. Very good. Judy Balin, thanks very much for joining me here. We look forward to talking again next week. I hope you stay safe.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
All right. Very good. That's Judy Balin, Israeli journalist in Jerusalem, a former Seattle resident. I knew her when she lived here. Now, what's interesting about this is, she's with the Jewish News Service, JNS.org, if you want to check it out, JNS.org. Israel clearly has the moral authority to move in and start, taking these guys out. What they are hoping, Hamas is hoping, is that there will be lots of casualties so they can accuse Israel of killing civilians. But, of course, it's not Israel who's putting civilians in harm's way. It's Hamas. There's just absolutely no dignity, no honor to these people whatsoever. I mean, they not only have Nazi-like views of Jewish people, but Hamas also, they're cowards. They hide behind kindergartens. They hide behind their wives. And they hope that they can get some of these civilians killed so they can then claim to be martyrs, while in fact they're carrying on these awful attempts to kill innocence. And just the way the teenagers that were killed in Israel, when the three Jewish teenagers were killed, kidnapped and killed, Hamas said, "We bless the hands of those who killed them." And then they sheltered the kidnappers. When a retaliatory killing took place, Jewish nationals killed a Palestinian teenager. It was condemned that very day by Prime Minister Netanyahu, by his party, by all Israelis across the board. They carried out a criminal investigation, and within days, they had six people arrested. Think about that. Condemned by Netanyahu, launches an investigation. Within days, they have six of their own, six Jews, are in custody. When, on the other hand, three Israeli teenagers go missing, Hamas congratulates the kidnappers and hides them, who had, of course, killed these kids. And then when the ambulance shows up to take the corpses away, Arab youth stone the ambulance, taking the dead bodies away. That gives you an idea of the hate campaign that has been created. We hear a lot about hate speech in this country. I've never heard Barack Obama or any prominent Democrat criticize the hate campaign that takes place in Gaza among children going to Hamas-run schools. Remember, they run the government there. From preschool on, they're taught to despise and hate Jews. Not just, you know, the Israeli government, Jewish people. Haven't seen anything like this since the Third Reich. And that's completely glossed over by our State Department, completely overlooked. And it's outrageous, because that's what's really underway here. The John Carlson Show, The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.